So we have a vignette here of a 62-year-old woman with hoarseness of voice for the past 3 months. And then we get a seemingly obscure barium swallow showing indentation and displacement of the esophagus posteriorly, right? So you see that and you're like, what the fuck? So bottom line is you should just be aware, this is factoidy actually, this question. You should just be aware that left atrial enlargement can cause impingement on the esophagus, causing dysphagia. It can also impinge on the left recurrent laryngeal nerve, leading to hoarseness of voice. So when we get hoarseness of voice secondary to impingement on the left recurrent laryngeal nerve from left atrial enlargement, that's called Ortner syndrome. So USMLE, they just want you to be aware of that anatomical factoid. Just left atrial enlargement can cause dysphagia and also hoarseness of voice. Okay, that's it really. Choice A, Kaplan syndrome, is just the combination of rheumatoid arthritis plus pneumoconiosis. Choice B, Felty syndrome, is the combination of rheumatoid arthritis, neutropenia, and splenomegaly. Choice C, Hady syndrome, that's the combination of aortic stenosis and angiodysplasia. Choice D, Lorici syndrome, that's going to be aortoiliac atherosclerosis, leading to intermittent claudication and erectile dysfunction in those with advanced atherosclerotic disease in that region. Some extra details, just more going outside of the context of this question, but for instance, for Kaplan syndrome, when we say rheumatoid arthritis plus pneumoconiosis, it's not exactly like, well, why? Why is that the case? It's not really so much that. You could just be aware that rheumatoid arthritis is known to cause restrictive lung disease. It's called rheumatoid lung. And coincidentally, methotrexate, the first line DMARD for rheumatoid arthritis, also cause pulmonary fibrosis. But in general, rheumatoid arthritis causes restrictive lung disease, rheumatoid lung, and pneumoconiosis, which means workplace lung pathology, such as anthracosis, silicosis, borreliosis, etc. These lung conditions are usually restrictive. So in a patient with rheumatoid arthritis, in combination with, let's say, a workplace exposure, like working in a stone quarry with susceptibility to silicosis, that's called Kaplan syndrome. So it's rheumatoid arthritis increasing the risk that that person who has that workplace exposure is going to get pneumoconiosis. Kaplan syndrome with a C, okay? Felty syndrome, not really sure why exactly there's neutropenia and splenomegaly in combination with rheumatoid arthritis. I mean, we could get a PhD in the reasons behind this stuff. It's more just being aware of that combination. It's a seemingly low yield diagnosis, but it does show up on the 2CK NBME component, where they just ask you straight up. The answer is Felty syndrome. Okay, once again, neutropenia, rheumatoid arthritis, splenomegaly, Hady syndrome, aortic stenosis plus angiodysplasia. Angiodysplasia is painless bleeding per rectum in elderly. It's the third or fourth most common cause after a diverticular bleed and colorectal cancer of bleeding per rectum in elderly. It's painless, okay? So it's due to tortuous superficial vessels in the colon wall. And in the setting of aortic stenosis, where the patient has pressure overload, there's increased susceptibility to pressure building up in the vessels of the colon wall, okay? Precipitating bleeding. Once again, sounds a bit weird, but this is also on 2CK NBME questions that I've seen. They say a guy was arg an elderly guy was arguing with his wife and gets chest pain, and he's also had a history of bleeding per rectum. So that was Hady syndrome, and then Lorici syndrome. That would be our presentation of someone who has intermittent claudication in the buttocks and thighs, which reflects the aortoiliac involvement of that atherosclerosis. If we were to just say, oh, the guy gets pain in his calves when he walks, that's not consistent with Lorici syndrome. So Lorici syndrome is higher up. Once again, the aortoiliac vessels, not necessarily just the popliteal vessels, and associated with impotence, as I mentioned, in men. So that's something they'll ask as far as a guy who has advanced diabetes, which of course is big risk factor for atherosclerosis, biggest risk factor, in fact. And they'll say that he does not have nocturnal erections, indicating that it's actually a physical pathology rather than a psychological one. And that would be consistent with Lerici syndrome.
That's it.